Welcome to the Phil Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 3:11 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is March 2nd, and I thought we'd kick off with high yields because we had an upside key reversal last week. We haven't quite had any follow-through on the upside yet, but at least it's steadying. And that's at least suggesting that there's a low of short-term significance that has come through in corporate bonds. Now, we've had a great deal of volatility in government bonds. We had a big, quite a significant pop on the upside yesterday. And then when Jay Powell spoke today, he had a lot to say. And it wasn't particularly favorable for government bonds. So, in fact, the size of the downward dynamic was larger than the upward dynamic that we saw yesterday. And that's obviously now putting upward pressure on yields again. So Federal Reserve thinks they can engineer a soft landing, and we're talking about unicorns here. So that's a really quite clear bounce from the region of the 1,000-day moving average and the upper side of the underlying range, and it has completely countermanded the downward dynamic from yesterday. So then we have to begin to consider that yields are going to continue to trend higher. I thought it was interesting today, too, that Jay Powell was rather testy when he was challenged about the sources of inflation, because the Federal Reserve seems to be very much of the opinion that it's about a demand shock. And they also mentioned that it's really all because of the pandemic, and then because of the war between Russia and Ukraine in Ukraine, then we're going to have supply issues, and there's not much they can do about that either. And then, of course, they don't seem to mention at all that there was a massive amount of money printed, and the Federal Reserve printed all that money and gave it to the government, and the government handed it out to people. And that's why we've had a big jump in demand, because people can afford it. If they couldn't afford it, then how on earth could we have had such a big demand jump? So there is no question that the Federal Reserve is root and branch supporting this inflationary trend. And the inflationary trend has certainly taken a leg higher this week. So the one thing, of course, that the market took heart from is that the Federal Reserve wants a soft landing. So they're not going to aggressively raise rates. They're going to let growth moderate on its own. It's certainly going to get a kick in the teeth from oil prices rising $10 a day. So Brent crude was up $9 in here today. And the discount that Urals medium crude is trading at now is out to about $10. So somebody's going to start buying that oil because it's trading at a significant discount to Brent. And of course, then it's going to raise important questions for countries like China. Will they satisfied their acute need for supply and buy it on the cheap from Russia and circumvent the sanctions? And of course, there aren't really sanctions yet on Russian oil, so they wouldn't be immediately challenging the sanctions, but obviously it's a challenge. But Russia definitely is going to need the money, and they're going to be selling whatever they can in order to get in foreign currency. And they're going to want to try and get, for example, maybe even accept trading in renminbi and use China's e-currency. So, and of course, that would circumvent SWIFT. So there are lots of different things that could happen. And it's really down to a question of just what China's appetite will be to engage in that kind of activity. And then we can think about gasoline prices, up 24 in here today, and now back in the region of the peaks from back in 2011 through 13 and up to test that 350 area back in 2008. Gasoline prices have doubled in the course of the last 12 months. And just since the beginning of this year, they're up in a meaningful manner. So obviously this is really overextended. We've had a profound move, and it's on the back of the potential that the USA is going to sanction Russian oil refining. and it's an importer of gasoline from Russia, so therefore that's going to have a knock-on effect for gasoline prices. So when we think about companies that have got refineries in the USA, well, if they're not going to be importing gasoline from Russia, well, they're going to be getting it from somewhere. Marathon Oil continues to march higher in here. And then we can think about the number one commodity that people tend to think about, which is wheat. And it surged higher yesterday and then did it again in here today. So we're now north of 1,000 cents for wheat. And there's really only been one time when it's been that high or above that level, and then only for a few weeks. And the speed with which it rallied in late 2007 was even faster than the way it's rallying right now. That back then was when people were really worried about the world running out of food. And now we're looking at one of the biggest producers of grain being excised from the global market. So this is going to have very significant repercussions, but most particularly, it's going to have repercussions in places that depend on Russian and Ukrainian wheat to survive. And that's going to be in places like North Africa and the Middle East. So obviously, the price of food is something that contributes to social unrest. And potentially, we're only on the cusp of what could be an extremely disruptive period in the event that food prices start to get out of control. And there's obviously a real potential problem here. Soybeans are still north of 1,600 cents, and then corn is taking its cue from oil prices. So we're in an environment here where the anything relating to oil is doing rather well. Now, corn didn't pop on the upside like wheat did in here today, but and it is overbought in the short term. But we're still in an environment where there are significant challenges with regard to supply. And again, we do have surging demand. So this is a very difficult environment. Now, that's going to greatly inhibit the ability of central banks to raise interest rates. So then stocks rebounded in here today. The S&P was up about 80 points. So it countermanded yesterday's downward move and pushed on to a new recovery high, and it's now testing the region of the 1,000-day moving average. So, or excuse me, the 200-day moving average, and pushing back up into that overhead range. Now, it will have to break the sequence of lower rally highs in order to confirm that we're back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment, but certainly there's scope for a rebound here because we've had a sizable pullback, and the biggest fear that was driving that pullback was that the Federal Reserve was going to raise rates aggressively. Well, they're going to raise rates by about a quarter of a point, but I think probably investors are willing to consider that they're not going to do so aggressively, that they're going to tailor their hiking zeal to the outlook for the economy, and they're still expressing a lot of confidence in the ability of the US economy to continue to expand despite external challenges. So that's also putting pressure on these yields. With upward pressure on prices for commodities, most particularly energy, well, China is going to come back in as a significant buyer. So they're going to be much more engaged going forward, and not least because the Winter Olympics is over. So now they are going to get back to metal bashing, and clean air over Beijing is going to be much less of a priority. So they're going to start buying a lot more commodities, and that's likely to be a significant tailwind for prices for just about everything. Now, the CSI 300 is back in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. This is also coinciding with the peaks of the from back in early 2018, and we could potentially see the market starting to steady from here. And the renminbi has been rock steady. China certainly doesn't want to have any stress being pointed at the economy when there are so many other questions being asked about the global economy. But the renminbi was a little bit softer in here today. And because the Federal Reserve will proceed with raising interest rates, but perhaps not quite at the same pace as people had initially been anticipating, well, the dollar was a little softer in here today, so failing to sustain that breakout to a new recovery high. And gold prices were also a little softer in here today, but we're finishing off the day, or off the low of the day, and holding on to the majority of the advance put in yesterday. I think the most important thing that gold has done has clearly broken the sequence of lower rally highs and breaking out of this rounding base formation that's been forming for the last year. And provided it holds the breakout, well, then the chances are that we're going to see a substantial and accelerating breakout from this longer term range. We can go back and look at the history of gold. It has a history of going sideways for what feels like forever, and then has these explosive breakouts. And I'm rather amazed, really, that on this occasion we've had an 18-month consolidation, because we had three, if not four, 18-month consolidations in the last bull market, and they were all completed with really impressive big bull markets. So I think that there's a strong likelihood that's exactly what we're going to see with gold on this occasion as well. Then we also started to see that uranium is starting to perk up again. It had a significant downdraft over the last 6 months, and now we've had a substantial rebound from the region of the moving average. The Global X Uranium Fund is very heavily weighted by both Cameco and the Sprott Fund, and the London-listed Geiger counter is more speculative and concentrates on miners, or smaller miners, I should say, and it's also bouncing from the region of the trend mean. The solar sector and renewables generally were a little softer in here today, but they have had a really impressive rebound and broken their respective downtrends. So we're in more of a risk-on environment due to liquidity, despite the fact that there are big questions being asked about the trajectory of growth, the outlook for the global economy, and then obviously that means that macro policy is going to be less aggressive, which should help to sustain speculative activity, particularly in the growth portion of the market. But commodities are certainly on the front foot, and oil prices are accelerating, and we still have this really acute backwardation. And this is certainly the big factor in supporting the price. Now, oil cannot continue to rally at $10 a day indefinitely, but Russia is a major producer, and taking it out of the global economy is going to leave an awfully big hole in supply. So we're coming into an area of potential resistance around the $120 area, but a clear downward dynamic will be required to question potential that for additional upside. Despite the acceleration, this is a rather unique set of circumstances, so we will need to see either a change in demand or a change in supply in order to cap this incredible advance. And the higher oil prices go, the greater the likelihood is that they will contribute to a really significant slowdown in growth. And that's not really yet being priced into bond markets. So these are mutually incompatible trends. Oil prices cannot continue to rise at this pace without having a knock-on effect on global growth. And commodity prices rising at this pace will have the same effect. So we're certainly in an interesting environment, And the correction on Wall Street, and generally speaking, right across the global markets, well, then those are certainly still in play, and banks are starting to respond to this slowing growth phenomenon. So we had a big pullback on banks over the last 2 weeks. They were a little steadier in here today, but this is a really big break of consistency for what was an impressive 2-year advance. So a lot of repair work will need to be done in order to really get people back convinced that the banking sector can really continue to thrive. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty right now. And investors have been conditioned to buy the dip, and particularly when it's less likely that liquidity is going to get withdrawn. So that's what they're doing today. And that will continue for as long as the liquidity is made available. So Bitcoin has also bounced, and it's now back in the region of the peaks from early February. So it broke its sequence of lower rally highs, and then it put in a higher reaction low. Now, if it can push on to another new high, well, then we have an uptrend. So what happens next is probably also going to be a lead indicator for what we can anticipate from the stock market. And if it can push up and through the peak from early February, well, then we're likely to have a more sustained rebound on stocks. So it's certainly worth keeping an eye on at present. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.